Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:47, and in just a few moments, we will be chatting to Stephen Groost. He is head of African Governance and Diplomacy, the Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute for International Affairs. We'll be chatting to him about Trump and Zelensky relations. How successful? I mean, we know what that meeting, how that meeting ended. Was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? Well, Stephen's on the line. He joins us this morning. Stephen, thank you for doing so. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So this was, I mean, from an entertainment point of view, I mean, this is way up there, way, way, way more interesting than the Oscars, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sparks flew and it got very heated. Trump said this is going to make good television. And I think that's part of the problem, is that Trump was treating this as a reality show, as a spectacle. And yeah, it was very, very unusual to see world leaders arguing, talking over each other, insulting one another. It may have made for good reality television, but I think it left people quite disappointed and confused and angry.
But yet at the same time, the responsibility definitely fell, I would think, on both parties. Zelensky's didn't come in handling it the way he should. His body language was very negative. He definitely didn't play the diplomatic game the way he could have.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think he feels that he's being painted into a corner, that the American support that they've had for 3 years is going to end or certainly change. There's a lot at stake for him. He knows that Putin doesn't keep to his word, and Trump, quite naively, I think, says no. Putin will carry out the deal, and there's no problem with what he wants. And what Zelensky wanted was the Americans to say they will provide a backstop, they will provide security guarantees. Trump was not going to do it. On the other hand, I think Trump and Vance were very aggressive. To me, it seemed like almost like a trap, that they wanted to get Zelensky angry and have the outburst, etc., to show that he didn't want peace. Given the peace offering that's on the table, it is basically that Russia gets to keep all of the territory that it has occupied, and that Ukraine will not be able to join NATO. And, you know, Zelensky's, from his point of view, saying, well, what have we been fighting for?
That said, there's definitely been a shift now, with Zelensky saying, you know, he didn't handle it as well as he should have, and he is ready to talk. Is there a greater chance of reaching some form of agreement or settlement?
So, yes, he did tweet words to that effect yesterday. It was a little bit like when you ask your kid to write an apology letter to a teacher.
Exactly.
It's everything but saying the words, I'm sorry. But as the Americans say, he has tried to walk it back and come back to the table and be conciliatory. You know, there's this deal that America wants Ukraine's critical minerals. That might still happen. We'll see how this unfolds, but yeah, you know, Zelensky has definitely been made to try and patch things up. My sense is that this was a setup, that this was planned by Trump and Vance to irritate and to unsettle and to make him lose his cool. It was not professional on all sides. It was not pleasant to watch. Grown men shouting at each other.
No, certainly it wasn't. So for me, interestingly enough, I didn't read it that way. To me, I was watching the temperature going up, their body language becoming more constrained, and I do think that Vance's maybe inexperience in this setting could have contributed to it, but it didn't. To me, it didn't seem like a setup. It just seemed like it just spiraled, and that it went in the direction that really nobody thought it would. While we have you, I would love to hear your thoughts on just changing subjects. And I didn't, give you a heads up about this, so I apologize. It's not an ambush. I'm just fascinated at your thoughts about this, the allegations of high treason in terms of AfriForum, who have been in the United States talking about some of their concerns.
Yeah, look, I think the South African government and many of the South African people are horrified at the lobbying that AfriForum and Solidarity have been doing in the U.S. for a long time. It certainly came to a head in the last couple of weeks with Trump's social media and then the executive order. The whole issue around the Afrikaners being a persecuted group. Do we believe in free speech? Are we now going to police what every NGO does or says? Are we going to get an NGO law brought in, like they have in many African countries, which really closed the space for civil society? I don't agree with what AfriForum is saying, but I do believe they have the right to put their arguments, and the other side should be have the right to put their arguments as well. I think when you get into notions of high treason, quite serious, and I think it's the government really desperate to silence these voices.
And a terribly slippery slope, because how then does that differ from you and I having a conversation that people can do listen to around the world, and we're talking about something criticizing the ANC government? How does that differ all of a sudden to something to what they've done? Now, I understand it's a very, very different deliberate act, but it's not a stretch at all if you can't criticize government. If criticism of government is deemed to be treasonous, that sounds pretty much like an Iranian influence to me.
Or the Soviet Union in 1975. Remember that the ANC has many elements in it that are quite Stalinist and would like to control the means of communication. I mean, I do think what AfriForum is doing is damaging to the country. Mm. But does it have reason? I think that's a stretch.
Right. That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always. Stephen Groost, Head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs.